Welcome to Heralding the Truth, the radio ministry of Russell Road Church in Sydney, Ohio, where our vision is to build a people established in God's Word, advancing His kingdom, a body of believers endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. We appreciate you joining us this morning for this dynamic and life-changing Word. Here now is our senior pastor, Fred Gillenwater, with today's message.
The truth be told for the saving of souls.
We've been talking about the ministry of the Holy Spirit. And joy is the attribute that we were talking about. The joy of the Lord is our what? It's our strength. And so this joy, when you have this joy, it's going to show up in your life. It's going to show up on your countenance. It just shows. Because when you don't have it, that shows too. And it's not happy. It's not about being happy. Because happy is based on happenstance. It's based on exuberance and merriment. You know, just something that makes you merry. You know, it's all based on something else. But joy is coming out of you. It talks about in 1 Thessalonians 1:6, and you became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Spirit. You see, God brings joy where there's affliction. Wherever you see joy, you'll see there's affliction and adversity. But this joy comes to get the afflictions off of you. Remember the afflictions in the Greek culture? When they were going to bring afflictions on someone, they would tie them up and they would face them forward and lay them down on the ground. Then they would take, all these men would get together and they'd roll this heavy stone on top of them to slowly crush them to death. They said, we're going to afflict this person. And that's what afflictions were. That's where that the history behind that word comes from. But now watch this. He said, with joy and much affliction, the joy comes when you have joy inside of you. It forces that weight off of you and it can't crush you. It can't crush your spirit because you are spirit. You got joy. Are you with me? And so, folks, listen. That's what the joy of the Lord is. It's your strength. It is your strength. David said, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord has delivered us out of them all. You see, that's what joy does. It delivers you out of those afflictions, those things that come to crush your spirit. Folks, we need to get a hold of that because this is an attribute. This is what the Holy Spirit is up to. This is a fruit of the Holy Spirit, joy. And then he said, peace. Remember, love. We've been talking about the agape love. That's the high level of love. Love, joy, and then peace. Remember, peace is the Greek word eirene, E-I-R-E-N-E. It means to be calm in the midst of chaos. To be calm in the midst of chaos. Jesus said, in me you will have peace, in this world you will have tribulation. But be of good cheer, for I've overcome the world. You see, when you are in him, you have peace. And the word peace also means wholeness. It means wholeness. It means sound. It means salvation. That's what peace means. It means salvation. It means prosperity. It means you're going to prosper. When you have peace, you are in a position to make wise decisions when the peace of God is ruling you. That's why he says, let the peace of God rule your hearts and your minds. That word rule is the word referee. In other words, this peace is going to referee the game that's going on out here. And I'm conducting this outfit. The peace of God is taking over here. You see, the kingdom of God, what? Is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. And Jesus said, it's within you. The kingdom of God is within you. That's why we got to understand. When we understand this joy and this peace, folks, listen. When you understand this, it's the fruit of God's Spirit. You'll be busting the doors down to hear some word when you understand this. And where this is taking place, folks want to be there. You see that? The Bible says that, for whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. For how shall they call upon him whom they've not believed? And how shall they believe upon him whom they've not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? How beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace. I'm preaching the gospel of peace. Are you with me today? And this peace will cause you to be sound. It'll cause you to be whole. It'll cause you to have your stuff together. Am I making sense? This is the peace in you ruling you. This isn't based on outward circumstances. This is based on you connecting with the Holy Spirit. You see, you connecting with God and a relationship with God, the Bible says that it's righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. There's a divine order there. Righteousness is a relationship with God. It produces peace, and it also produces joy. And today we're going to talk about long suffering. You like that? People love that word, don't they? I'll tell you what, when you understand it, it's going to change your perspective on it. Let's go to Galatians chapter 5, and we're going to look at verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. Now, this ministry of the Holy Spirit and is what he's up to is he's producing this fruit. And it's not fruits, not plural, it's fruit. So there's nine aspects of the Holy Spirit. One Spirit, right? So it's the fruit of the Spirit. That's important, that's significant. The word fruit is the Greek word karpos, K-A-R-P-O-S. And it means the fruit of plants, the fruit of trees, and the fruit of one's body, children and offspring. God has called all of us to produce fruit that gives God glory. Remember, the word glory is what God originated and intended. So when we're giving God glory, our lives manifest what God originated and intended us to be. You see, that's what happens. When we are producing this fruit, our lives are becoming what God originated and intended our lives to be. So, anybody been frustrated this week? You are in the right place. Now watch this. At times, we all get frustrated with someone else. And sometimes our level of frustration can be off the chart. You know what the word frustrate means? It literally means to prevent from obtaining a goal or purpose. To prevent from obtaining a goal or purpose. So when you're frustrated, you know, the Bible says that God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. He resists the proud. The word resist means to frustrate. When you're frustrated, you're into pride. You're trying to do it in your own strength. He says he resists the proud. You know why? Because he's not going to let you fulfill his goal or purpose that he created you for on your own. It's going to have to be by you coming to him to get it. He gives grace to the what? The humble. Remember, what's the word humble? The word humble comes from the word humus. And that word humus means earthy, down to earth. People always say, yeah, I like being around them. They're so down to earth. Down to earth means earthy. You like to be around them because they're down to earth. Humble, right? Humble. Now, well, look at this. Earth, the word earth means real. So in order for me to become real, authentic, I have to go to God to get it. I can't get it on my own. So frustration is really a manifestation of you trying to do it yourself. This is especially true when we are exhausted from trying to help people who don't act like they want or appreciate our help. It's so easy to be Christ-like and loving with people who appreciate us or show us loving kindness in return. But we are going to have to act as Christ did when people don't appreciate us. When that takes place, we will demonstrate the life of Jesus as equally to those who irritate us as much as those who make us feel good or treat us with respect. See that? We're called to love our enemy. We're called to love our neighbor. Whenever people fail to appreciate what you do for them, fail to listen to your counsel, or fail to value what you have contributed into their life, your flesh likes to rant and rave about how little you are valued, respected, esteemed, and appreciated. That's when your soul will rise up and say, "Excuse me? Excuse me? But I'm not a doormat for people to wipe their feet on, right? I'm not a doormat." Anybody ever said that? "Well, I'm not going to be their doormat. They can walk all over them, but they ain't walking all over me." That's a toot, isn't it? That right there, there's no spirit in that. There's no Holy Spirit in that. Now watch this. This is what we say. We're not going to be that doormat, and they're not going to walk all over me. Listen, I have invested all the time and energy I am going to invest in this ingrate. An ingrate's an ingrateful person. I am done. It is over. I am through it. Exit stage left, right? I'm gone. I'm out of here. I'm done with this person. Husbands and wives have felt this way towards their spouses. Friends have felt this way towards their friends. Parents towards their children. Teachers towards their students. Pastors towards their congregation. That's right. But you see, that's why we need to grow in long suffering. That's what this fruit of long suffering is all about. Now, catch this. We need a healthy dose of long suffering. Regardless of your status in life, or who you are married to, or who you work with, or what you do, we need a healthy dose of long suffering. This word long suffering is the word macrothumia. Macrothumia, which is a compound word of macros and thumos. Macros means long. It's where we get the word macaroni. And macaroni is, they used to make macaroni and they'd make these long noodles in the Greek culture, and they'd cut them up small to make their stuff. Now, this word long, this word macro, it indicates something that is long, distant, far, remote, and for a long duration. Thumos, now watch this, the other part of that word, macrothumia, is the word thumos, and it means anger. It means swelling emotions or a strong, growing passion for something or someone. In other words, it's a passion. That's what this anger. Anger is really compassion just reversed. And when you have a passion, in other words, it means I have a long passion to see this person through. When I have long suffering, I'm going to stand by my wife or my husband till the end. Because I have a passion to help them and get them and see them through. You see this? That's love. That's what this long suffering is about. That's what it is with a friend. When you truly have a friend, you'll stand by them. And you know, but someone says, your friend walks in when the rest of the world walks out on you. That's what a true friend is. They'll be there with you, right? And folks, listen, that's what long suffering is about. Long suffering is about hanging in there, not giving up. You see this? That's what it's about. And it comes from the Holy Spirit. You know what? You have to put this on. Go with me to Colossians 3:12 real quick. Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on. Everybody say put on. Put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering. Long-suffering. Bearing with one another and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, you also must do. You see that? This long suffering, we have to put it on. Folks, we gotta put it on. It's like the way you went and got dressed this morning. You picked out your clothes in your closet and your socks and everything, and you put it on. It's the same way you do. You make a choice. I'm making a choice to be long suffering towards this person, this object that I love. I'm making a choice. I'm not going to feel like it. I don't feel like putting up with your stuff, but I'm loving you anyways. I'm putting it on, right? If I keep putting it on, I'm going to end up doing it naturally. It's going to come naturally. That's the way it is. You put it on. And folks, it becomes a habit after you start doing it and start exercising it. And you know what it does? It makes your life sweeter because you're not in there judging and getting critical and cynical up in your head and all these negative thoughts. Because you know you're doing this for the Lord. You're not doing this just because they're all that. You're doing it because you're obeying Him. And He's releasing power into your life so the love can flow through you. And when love flows from you, it changes things. That's why He says, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I've become a sounding brass and a clanging cymbal. Remember? Clanging cymbals always announced war. That's what they announced war with, those symbols. And Paul was speaking to the church, and the church, they were having problems in the Corinthian church of contentions and strife and problems. People weren't exercising long suffering, and it was creating wars. But when I have love, I'm going to put up with some folks, and I'm going to have power, and I'm not going to create division and strife. I'm going to bring power to the circumstance. That's why it says, do I give my body to be burned and everything I have to the poor? But if I don't have love, it means zip, zero. And that's why I have to learn to grow and put on long-suffering. It's huge, folks. It just makes your life sweeter. Sweeter. It's not patience. People think, well, long-suffering is patience. And sometimes they'll use that word, interacting that word. But it really, there's a distinction there. Long-suffering is always towards people. Always. And patience is always towards circumstances or situations. And when you understand that, you know that this difficult person in my life really has come to develop in me. You see, when you really understand this person is developed, it's really God has allowed them there because God's trying to develop something in me. You see that? He's trying to show something in me. He's doing a work inside of me, but when I resist it, I get an attitude, my flesh wants to have a fit, I abort what God is trying to do. But when I'm really, if I'm praying, I'm talking to him, God, help me out with this person. Well, you know, they didn't have a mother and father when they were being raised. And they've been deeply wounded. And they need your love. Now get in there and love them. You see, you know what happens? You become a vehicle for their salvation. You with me today? You become a vehicle and an instrument of their salvation when you start to contact God. But you know what? When you get a fit, you see, God is not in that. Holy Spirit is nowhere in that. God wants us to be long-suffering. You know what? When we get that and understand that, that's why he says in 1 Peter chapter 3, he says, the Lord is not slack concerning his promises, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. You see, God puts up with my stuff. He puts up with me all the time. Are you with me? But I go to him and I repent, and I tell you what, everything's going to be all right. Are you with me today? See, he'll put up with us no matter what. That never changes. He can't love you anymore, and he can't love you any less. That's the way he wants you to love people. Y'all don't look real excited. But that's it. That's the way it is. And when we learn to do this, this makes our life sweeter and more full. And it takes stuff off of us. If you don't choose to put on this long-suffering, you won't do it. You simply won't do it. 1 Corinthians 13:4 says, love suffers long. Long-suffering is so different than our flesh, which gets easily angered, blows up, loses its temper, says things that it later regrets, and doesn't want to give the same mercy that it demands from others. See, we demand mercy and grace from everybody else, but we don't want to put any out. You see that? But we don't want to put any out. But when we're long-suffering now, we understand and we give mercy. It's because we've obtained mercy. We don't judge people. We don't judge people how they look or what kind of tattoos they have. I don't care if you got tattoos everywhere. I don't care if you were out drunk last night and you're still drunk. You're in the right place. I don't care if you're a prostitute. You're in the right place. Are you with me? Because we're not here to judge you. We're here to love you and extend mercy and life and help you to get into life. Because that's what salvation is. It's by grace we're saved, and it's the grace that we extend to one another that people are saved. Come on. It's not just God's grace coming down on you and saving you. He needs some folks that will long-suffering towards other people so they will understand true salvation. Am I making sense today? Now watch this. You know, I was at my son's house this week. He calls me up and says, Dad, why don't you come over? Why don't you come over for lunch? He says, I'm going to make your lunch today. I said, well, dude, I'm coming, you know. So, I go over there and I got to feed my new grandson. He's like a month and a half. He's almost 2 months now. But I got to feed him. Man, I was loving it. You know, just loving him, you know. And my son says, you know, after I fed him and we put him down, he goes, you know, he says, you know, I in my devotion this morning, I had Finley. That's his name, Finley. He said, you know, I took the Bible, and as I was reading it, I had Finley in one hand because I fed him this morning. And, you know, he got up with him. And he goes, I started reading the Bible to Finley out loud. He goes, you know, the way you used to do. I used to read to my son and my daughter. They were little kids, babies. And Zeta was upstairs, and she heard him reading to Finley. She comes down, Daddy, what are you doing? That's silly. Finley don't understand what you're saying. Why are you reading the Bible to Finley? He goes, honey, he understands much more than you think he does. God knew him before he was in his mother's womb. Oh, man, I'll tell you what. That affects you. You know, when he's telling me that, it's like, man, this is too good. I'm going to eat me some more lunch. Are you with me? It's like, you know, and then I remember my mind went back. And there were so many times I remember I was at the plant working in Miles Laboratories, and I was there, and I read this article. They always had articles because there was these scientists and all these real brainos that worked there, you know, and there's me. But I would always read this newsletter, and it always had good information in it. And it said, you know, if you'll take time and read to your son or your daughter, it will make a connection that will last forever. And, you know, it wasn't a spiritual thing. And I thought, you know, I believe that because nobody ever read to me. So I went out, I got Dr. Seuss, I started reading to my kids. I went to the library and started getting books. I hated the library when I was growing up. You know, you had to be quiet and walk in. Everybody's, you know, I was rebellious. I didn't have any much home training. Are you with me? And I would walk in, I just didn't like the library because all these rules and stuff. But now I'm learning how to operate this thing. I'm alphabet, I'm working it. I'm teaching my son how to do it. And you know what? It just changed my world. And I remember reading to my son and daughter that I didn't feel like it. There was times I didn't feel like it at all, but I did it anyways. Come on, I did it anyway. They would rather me sit down and read with them than to go get ice cream. Try reading to your kids. Start reading to them. Get them up there in your lap and start reading to them. I'm telling you. This does something. Now, my son said to me, he goes, Dad, the other night, I put Zeta to bed, and he goes, she was angry. She got real angry. And he goes, then she was afraid. And I said, well, what was that all about? He goes, well, now listen. He goes, well, Sarah told me to go back up because she was mad about something up in the room. You know, she could hear. He goes back upstairs. He says, Zeta, what'd you do today? Well, I went to Alyssa's house. Oh. And my son, she said, well, we did this and we did this and we did this. And he goes, oh, okay. He goes, let me ask you, what did you watch today? Did you watch any movies there or do anything? She goes, yeah, we watched Scooby-Doo. He goes, was it one of them scary ones? She goes, yes, Daddy, it was a scary one. And he didn't let her watch that scary stuff. And that ain't being religious, that's just being smart. And so she was afraid. He goes, is that what you're thinking about? She goes, yes, Daddy, that's why I'm afraid. That's why I'm so mad. That's why I'm angry. And now look, he goes, well, what do we do when we get angry? And she thought for a moment, we pray to God. Well, did you pray to God? No, Daddy, I didn't pray to God. She prayed to God right there. And he goes, are you still angry? She goes, a little bit after praying to God. She goes, a little bit. He goes, well, what do we do if we're still angry after we pray to God? She thought for a moment. She goes, I changed my thoughts. And he goes, okay, did you do that? She goes, no, Daddy. She goes, whatsoever things are true, just, noble, Philippians 4:8. She spoke it back. Are you with me? Now listen. Then he goes, are you still afraid? She goes, yes, Daddy, I'm still afraid. She goes, are you changing your thoughts? She goes, yeah, I'm changing my thoughts. He says, but God hasn't given us a spirit of fear. A power, love, and a sound mind. And he spoke that over her. And he said, are you still afraid, honey? You know, Daddy, I'm not afraid now. He goes, you can sleep now. She goes, oh, yeah, I can sleep now. But here's my point. He goes, Dad, you know what that's called? That's called emotional coaching. He said, I'm coaching her emotions. He goes, if I coach her emotions and get her to respond to me, whenever she as she grows up, she will make wise decisions in her thought life. and get control over her emotions. Oh, man, look at that. If you can get a hold of that in your children, you see that? Now, I'm going to tell you one more. I'm going to go to one more place, and now you're going to think I'm bragging. Her teacher, she was a kindergartner this year. Her teacher called up and said, I want to take Zeta out for dinner, and I want to take her to a movie. And they thought, well, that's different. But they knew about her, and they know her and all. And so she came by and took her to a movie and took her to a dinner, then took her out and bought her something. Well, they got to asking her, well, what's this about? She goes, I just wanted to reward her because she's so pleasant in class. You know what? I'm not bragging, folks. I'm really not. You know, maybe I am a little bit, but I'm not. But no, when I'm out with her, I say one thing. She does it. I don't have to keep on. I go to McDonald's and they're chasing their kids. And it isn't that way. I'm telling you, it takes time. That's long suffering to teach and sit down and look your kid in the eye and talk to him and explain things. That takes time. That's long suffering. Folks, listen to me. And as I left, I thought back in my mind all those times that I didn't want to read. I didn't, but I did it anyways. And now I'm experiencing the fruit of it. Am I making sense? Come on now, am I making sense? That's the way it works. If we'll take the time. Parents need to be long-suffering towards children, teachers with their students, spouses towards spouses, friends toward their friends, and we also need to be long-suffering with ourself, with yourself. Too many times we get short with ourselves and we start getting negative on ourselves. Folks, when you understand this, that will dissipate because you're tapping into the Spirit now. We will be more tolerant of others, more peaceful within, and a lot more loving and toward those whom we love and need so much. Listen, folks, Paul said this. We're going to need this. We're going to need this long suffering. Paul said this. He goes in Philippians 3, he says, you follow me. You follow me as a pattern. He says, as a pattern, Philippians 3:17. As a pattern. He goes, for many walk, and he's speaking about the people in the church. He says, for many walk, and I now tell you weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is their shame, who have set their minds on earthly things and not on things above. You see, when you set your mind, see, it's in that little word set. The little word set means to restore to a proper position in a stable state. When you set your mind on earthly things, you know what you're doing? You're setting your mind only to the nature, that sinful nature. That's why Paul says in Colossians 3, set your mind on the things above, not on the things of this earth. See, when you're just looking at what's going on the earth, you're not tapping into the Spirit. You see that? You're not getting near the Spirit. He says, we're citizens of heaven. We're to bring heaven to earth. That's why it says on earth as it is in heaven. We're to bring heaven down. That's the high calling of God. We press on towards the high calling of God. He's calling us from on high to bring heaven to earth. And when we have long suffering towards people, we're bringing heaven to earth. And it aids in helping them get to where God is calling them. Folks, I'm telling you, this is something that needs to be developed.
Only the truth and truthfulness can save us now. Only the truth and truthfulness can save us.
You have been listening to Heralding the Truth, the radio ministry of Russell Road Church. We are located at 340 West Russell Road in Sydney, Ohio. Our service times are Saturday evenings at 7 p.m., Sunday mornings at 9:30 and 11:15 a.m. If we can be of help to you, you may contact us at 937-492-6412 or visit us on the web at www.russellroadchurch.com. We end today's broadcast with these words from the Apostle Paul. Be complete, be of good comfort, be of one mind, live in peace, and the God of love and peace will be with you.